Open in your Bibles to the letter of Paul to the Colossians. We're in chapter 3, looking at the household. And we have been looking at the family which has been transformed by the gospel, households that have been transformed for the glory of God. And we started by looking at the relationship between the husband and the wife. That's where Paul begins his conversation with regards to the household. And this is because it is of first importance. The marriage relationship is preeminent in the home. If it's not running well or smoothly, it's hard to begin to focus on the children and hope that their lives are going to run well and run smoothly. And so Paul begins with what is of first importance, and then he moves on to discuss children and then parents. And we'll be addressing children today. A child's obedience is the title of this particular sermon. And I noticed that my children had been sitting up front here when we came in. but maybe they saw the title and they ran downstairs. I think it was their turn to sit downstairs anyway. But I trust that you're paying attention. So please give your attention to God's word. Paul begins his instruction to children in verse 20. Of chapter 3. Here now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Our God and Father in heaven, we pray that your grace would be upon us today as we sit under the teaching of your word. We pray especially for the children in our congregation, Lord, that you would give them ears to hear, that you would give us all grace to maintain focus and to pay attention, and that you would, through these words, be working in their hearts to transform them, that they would be obedient children to their parents, for this pleases you. And we pray, Lord, that this would be a reflection of the grace that you have poured out into our homes and into our lives, that we would shine forth your glory in the home, even in the lives of our children, and that the world would see this. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless us by your Spirit and use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen." Well, I had a lot to say today as I was thinking through this passage and writing this passage. I kept trimming things down and cutting things out. But I do pray that the Lord would give us an extra measure of grace and attention as we do approach this particular topic and work through these things together. In this passage, Paul calls children to obey their parents in everything, and that this pleases the Lord. And this is what I want to look at this morning. We'll look at several things. The first is who is being addressed here. That might seem obvious to you. Whom you should obey, that also may seem obvious to you. But what obedience is, we'll be looking at that. Why you should obey, as well as what you are to obey, and ways that you can obey. And so the main point this morning for you is, children, honor and obey Jesus Christ by honoring and obeying your parents. Children, honor and obey Jesus Christ by honoring and obeying your parents. So let's dive right in here. Who's being addressed here? Paul says, children, obey your parents. Now, what do you normally think of when you think of the word children? Maybe you think of the little ones that get up after the service and run around and play together and give us a wonderful picture of joy for us after the worship service. Or maybe you think of teenagers even as children, or perhaps maybe a little less likely those who are older adolescents as well. And possibly maybe you think of college-age children as well. But what does children mean here? The word Paul chooses to use here doesn't have a particular age group in mind. This word isn't restricted specifically to young children or middle-aged children or even adult children, but the word is used here basically to describe any offspring coming from parents, any age, really. And so this raises the question then, to whom is Paul speaking here? Is he just talking to little kids? Is he talking to grown adults who have moved away and have children of their own who are still children of their parents, to whom is Paul speaking? Well, I think at the very least we can say, given that Paul is writing in the context of the home and the context of the household here, that he has in mind all of those offspring, all of those sons and daughters living within the context of the home. All of those sons and daughters living within the context of the home, and really no matter the age. Doesn't matter how old or how young, if you are a son or daughter living under the authority of your household, living in the home, this is to whom Paul is speaking. And in that, I would include those who have gone off to college. So college students, you're not off the hook here necessarily. If you still have your residence at home, or you still have your home as the home base, as it were, I think Paul is still speaking to you in this way. And so at the very least, this is to whom Paul is speaking. Now, of course, obedience and submission here is going to look different if you are 5 as opposed to being 25, as well as depending upon the level of maturity that you possess. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But the children to whom Paul is speaking is, I think, any son or daughter living in the home, no matter the age. Well, who are these children supposed to obey then? Although that might seem obvious to you, there is one important thing that we need to take note of here. Paul says that you should obey your parents. Now notice that he says parents. It's plural here. And you might think, well, okay, but Paul used children, plural, and so he's going to refer to parents, plural. But notice that he doesn't say, children, obey your fathers, or father, or children, obey your mothers, or mother. But he says, parents. He includes both of them. And the reason he says this, and what he's identifying, is that your parents, as far as you are concerned as children, have equal authority over you. You are to respect and obey both of them equally. Now, why is this important to take note of? Well, I don't know about you, but whenever I was younger and I wanted to do this or that, and I went and talked to my dad about it, and my dad said, no, I don't think you should do that. And I was disappointed and discouraged by his response to me. I kind of just slide over here and say, hey, Mom, well, what do you think about this? Can I do this? Can I do that? And seeking a different answer, hoping that she would say yes when my dad said no. And then I'd run with the answer that I liked. Or if she gave me the answer I didn't like, I'd go, hey, Dad. And I would almost kind of pit them against one another. I wasn't treating them as having equal authority. And this might seem like a shrewd or clever or wise thing to do on behalf of the child, but Paul is implying here that both of your parents carry equal and united authority. If one says yes, you must treat it as both of them saying yes. If one says no, you must treat it as both of them saying no. And this might seem insignificant or unimportant, but children, one of the things that you need to recognize is that the world and the devil are doing everything they possibly can to drive a wedge in between your parents. They're doing everything that they possibly can to try to dissolve and frustrate and break up that marriage relationship between husband and wife. And they will use any opportunity they can to drive that wedge between your parents. And so do not try to pit your parents against one another. Don't try to seek out a different decision from a different parent if you don't like the first one. But see and acknowledge that the Lord has given them both equal authority over you in the home. So whom should you obey? Both parents equally. Okay, so children are to obey their parents, but what does it mean to obey? Well, there's no great surprise here. I imagine the answer that you have in your mind that you're already thinking about is what I'm going to tell you. That obedience is to follow the commands or directions of another. But one of the things that we find behind the English word for obey that's here in the Greek original language is to listen with humble submission. To listen with humble submission. So it's not a resentful obedience. It's not a resistant obedience or a reluctant obedience. And it's not merely even an outward obedience, while on the inside you're grumbling and complaining about what you have to do. But it's a disposition that welcomes the commands and instructions of your parents, listens to their directions and exhortations. It's a respectful obedience. And this is something else that this word carries in it. It has a prefix included there that means respect or honor. This is what the word obey is to bring to mind, respect and honor. And this is why Paul, in the parallel passage in Ephesians, connects this command with the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother, after he tells children to obey. Because he recognizes that these ideas are connected. Obedience and honor and respect, they go together. Obedience is an action that flows from the heart. And while this obedience is to come from a healthy respect for your parents, of course, it also flows from love. This love is generated by the love that your parents have for you, the way they care for you, and you respond in love to them by seeking to obey their commands, to listen to them, to welcome and receive their instruction. And this leads the Puritan William Googe to say that obedience is a humble and cheerful promptness even in receiving and executing orders of another, specifically of your parents. And so this is obedience. But the question could be asked, why? Why are children to obey? And I think why is probably one of the most powerful questions that children have, isn't it? It's probably the question you hear as a parent most frequently. Why? Why do I believe this? Why do I do this? Why should I follow these commands? Well, so is this just Paul's idea here? Is it his opinion that children should be obedient to their parents? Is it what the culture teaches? Children should obey their parents, and that's why we do it. Well, no. The first reason that Paul gives for us, the first reason that we have for obeying our parents is that simply we're commanded to. This is God's word. Children are commanded to obey their parents. And Paul goes on to say that this is pleasing to the Lord. The Lord finds delight in this. He finds pleasure in your obedience. And this is because resistance and rebellion to proper authority is contrary. It's antithetical. It's opposite to the order established by God. Disorder and disharmony are contrary to his character. But submission to his commands and to the authority structure that God has set in place in the home is a delight to him. And it's something that brings God glory, especially whenever you consider that it is the grace of God itself that enables that obedience in the first place. Our hearts are naturally rebellious. They're naturally resistant to order and structure, and it requires God's grace to produce any sort of obedience that we might find in our lives. And so what a wonderful testimony that is then, what pleasure and glory it brings to God to show that good and orderly structure that is the result of God's grace, especially amidst an otherwise fallen and rebellious world. You're commanded to obey your parents because this obedience is pleasing to God. It glorifies him. And so this is the first reason why you should obey. But the second reason you should obey is because it is naturally right for you to do so. And you can see Paul hinting at this in the parallel passage of Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "Children, obey your parents, for it is right." It's naturally right for you to do so. Children, you did not create yourselves. You were brought into this world. You were brought to life, as it were, by your parents. You exist because of them. They provide for your food. You came from them. They provide your shelter. They provide your clothing, your protection. They provide instruction from the Word of God itself, your education. Everything you need, they provide for you. They give to you. And you derive your existence from them. And so it's right that you would obey them. And it is an appeal to this natural righteousness or rightness and justice of your duty to obey your parents that a mom will often express whenever she's frustrated with a disobedient child. And perhaps you've heard this, children, and moms, maybe you have said things along these lines. I carried you for 9 months. I nursed you night and day. I lost sleep. I feed you. I cook for you. I clean up your clothes. I do your laundry. And this is how you repay me? Does that sound familiar? Or at least feel familiar anyway, right? It's an appeal to the natural rightness, that sense of justice, of it being right that your children should obey you because, children, you came from your parents. You derive your existence from them. They take care of you. And so it's right that you would obey them. But something else that Paul points out here, well, actually in the Ephesians passage, is that he says, you obey, and then he quotes the fifth commandment, like I said earlier. And he says in chapter 6, verse 2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And this is the third reason you obey. You obey your parents for your own good. You see, your parents, they give you commands and instructions not to make your life difficult, not to make your life miserable or hard, not to limit your fun, but they give you commands for your own good because they love you. They're trying to encourage you. They're trying to protect you and to train you. And in this, in many ways, we see a mirror of God's law here. God's law is meant to be a hedge of protection, keeping you safe from evil, safe from harm, safe from destruction. I mean, is this not what God's words were to Adam and Eve in the garden? Do not eat from that tree. Why? Because in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. It would go well with them if they had obeyed that command. And likewise, children, if you obey your parents, it will go well with you. And when our children are little, infants, toddlers, and up, we tell them not to play with fire. Don't stick things in the electrical outlet, right? Why? Because there's danger there if you do. We want to keep you safe. As you grow up, we say, don't ride your bike in the street. Come home before the street lights come on. Don't talk to strangers. You obey these things because they are protection for you. Things will go well with you if you do. And as you get older, you may hear instructions from your parents that you really don't want to hear. They may prohibit you from doing things that you want to do or stop you from going places that you want to go. And even though it's frustrating, and even though you might not understand why, there is protection here. They are trying to guard you because they love you dearly. Because believe it or not, children, your parents have been around longer than you have. And whether it seems like it or not, they have experienced more than you have. And I hate to break it to you, but they do know more than you do, or more than you think they do. It may not seem that way, but they do. They've been there, they know what life is like, and they have wisdom that comes through experience and through the Word of God. It will go well with you if you obey them. It's for your protection. And so it's good for you to obey your parents because you're commanded to. It's naturally right, and it is for your own good. This is why you want to obey your parents. Let's talk a little bit about what you should obey. Paul says, children, obey your parents. And in the Ephesians passage, he says, in the Lord. And so you are to obey your parents regarding all of those things that God does command. Your parents teach you the Word of God. They teach you the Ten Commandments, how to live according to the Word of God. And you follow and obey this instruction. But a child's obedience doesn't stop there. Because Paul, in our Colossians passage, says you must obey in everything. Obey in everything, even those things that go beyond the Word of God, not contrary to the Word of God, but things that even go beyond the purview of the Word of God, have a broader purview than the Word of God. So, for instance, your parents tell you to pick up your socks off of the floor, right? You obey. Even though it doesn't say pick up your socks in Scripture, you obey your parents. It's beyond the purview of the scriptures there. I don't want you to wear this type of clothing to school or out in public. Feed the cat, walk the dog, take out the trash. You're to obey in these kinds of things because you must obey in everything. And so what this means then is that even things you don't think are particularly helpful or those things you may think are silly, you still must obey. Perhaps your parents don't want you to wear jeans for some reason, or they don't want you to wear lime green socks. You might think that's silly. Okay, maybe it is silly. Maybe they have an affinity for polka dots socks or something like that, something against limes. But you still obey your parents. You must obey in everything. But one of the things that we need to keep in view here is that as you get older, there is an expectation and a cultivation from parents to children of a reasoning together about what you ought and ought not to do according to God's word. And so when you were really young, a small child, there's this constant micromanaging of your life, which is appropriate, telling you what to do, telling you what not to do, because you need to learn how to live. You don't know how to live. And they're helping you learn how to live. They're guarding you and guiding you in every step of the way. But as you get older, you need to begin to process and reason out how you are to live obediently according to the word of God in this world and not just be dependent upon what we as parents tell you to do. And so there comes a time as children get older when it is appropriate to begin to reason with your parents about some of the directions and instructions and commands that they give you. Now, let me just say this. This reasoning together isn't something that should take place immediately after they give you a command. So if they tell you to do something, don't stop and say, well, why? There could be a very good reason why your obedience needs to be immediate. There could be a situation around you that you're not aware of, an impending danger that you're not clued into that requires your immediate response. And that's not the time to reason together as to why. Find a more appropriate time, something after the fact, to reason with your parents about some of the directions and instructions that are given. And when this happens, parents, you need to be ready for that. You need to be willing to have those kinds of conversations with your children. Don't immediately treat it as recalcitrance or as defiance from your children. We want them to do this. We want them to grow and begin to process things and think through the implications of why and why not they should do things. See it as an opportunity to teach and guide your children in how to weigh decisions and actions from the smallest to the greatest of things according to wisdom and the word of God. And children, in this regard, whenever you do begin to reason with your parents and ask them why they want you to do this or not to do that or follow a particular command, you do want to speak with reverence. That will help them recognize that you want to talk through this and not just fight about it. Try to maintain an attitude of respect. Endeavor not to give the impression that you are trying to resist them or revolt or rebel against them. And perhaps you will come to an agreement on that issue at hand. Things will change. They will become different. Or perhaps you can't come to an agreement. You'll come to a different conclusion. And in the final analysis, at the end of the day, you're required to submit to your parents' authority. No matter how silly it may seem, again, you must obey in everything. Well, I'd like to mention a word then to parents in light of this, because of the position that you were in, because of the role that you play in the home, really as image bearers of God's authority in this regard with relationship to your children, the authority you have in the home, and your children must obey you by the command of God in everything, then this means that you have the power to bind the consciences of your children by your commands. And that is not something that you should take lightly. When you command your child to do something, they are commanded to obey you in everything. And if they do not follow your command, whatever it is, as long as it's not contrary to the word of God, they must obey. And if they don't follow it, that is sin. You have the power to bind their consciences in obedience to you. And so you need to think very carefully about the number of commands that you give them, because they must obey you. Think about the difficulty of the commands you give them and what is age appropriate, because they must obey you. And be sure to make the gospel and grace central in your home in light of all of this. Do not lead your children to believe that your love and acceptance of them is dependent upon their obedience to you. May it never be. Well, children, I think it goes without saying here then, and I'm going to say it anyway, that you must not obey those things that are contrary to God's word. If you're ever commanded to do anything that is contrary to the word of God, or ever forbidden to do something that God requires you to do, you must disobey. You must honor God rather than man. But even so, you do so in a very respectful manner. You say, Mom, Dad, I love you. I respect you. But I'm bound by the word of God. I have a higher authority. The Lord Jesus Christ is my King, and I must submit to him over you. I beg you to reconsider, because I cannot obey in this regard. And there may even come times when you are sinned against in such a way that you need to seek outside counsel and help. Do not be afraid to speak to me or to any one of the elders if you believe that there is something seriously wrong in the home. And once again, I want to have a word to parents here, because what I've just said assumes that your children are older and they have the ability to think through consequences. They have the ability to process whether your commands are according to the scriptures or not. And so what this highlights then is that very young children are largely ignorant to what God's word teaches, and therefore they are at the mercy of what you say to them. They are at the mercy of your commands. They don't know whether or not they're doing what's right or wrong, unless you tell them. They don't know whether they're transgressing the law or following it, so it's up to you to protect them and lead them into the truth, which is why there is such great condemnation for those who would take advantage of children and intentionally lead them into error by word and action. Jesus says in Matthew 18:6 that whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Brothers and sisters, the Lord knows. The Lord sees. And the Lord has great concern and care for the children he has placed into your hands. Lead them well. Well, lastly, let's look at some of the ways that you can obey. And I'm including in this ways in which you can honor your parents as well. And the first is that you obey immediately. You don't want to wait to fulfill your parents' commands or requests. Your parents ask you to do something, you do it immediately. You don't wait. You don't wait for them to ask you again. You don't force them to start counting or anything like that. Because by waiting, what you're trying to do is exercise your best interest in that situation. You're trying to exercise a little bit of control by making your parents wait for you. And so you are elevating your position in the eyes and in the sight of your parents over them. This is not humble obedience. This is not honor. You must obey immediately. Remember, they may have your best interest in mind. There could be a serious situation or a danger that you're unaware of that requires your immediate obedience in order for you to be safe. I remember reading a story about a family who was camping out in the woods, and they got their tents set up, and the children were off playing with a soccer ball in the field next to some brush. And as they were kicking the soccer ball back and forth, the father walked out of the tent and looked over into the brush and saw a rattlesnake sitting poised right at the edge of the clearing. And one of the children kicked a soccer ball past the snake, and the other child was running right across the path of where the snake was. And the father yelled, "Stop!" And because there was this expectation of immediate obedience, the child stopped in his tracks right there before he got to that snake. And the father grabbed his shotgun, went out and took care of the snake. But the child was preserved. It went well with him because of his immediate obedience and response to his parents. I encourage you to keep that in mind, children, as you think about your immediate response to your parents and children. Try to inculcate this in the lives of your children. But second, you need to consider your disposition as well. It ought to be one of honor and obedience. It's not enough simply to carry out the action, but you do want to do it cheerfully and honorably. And so whenever your parents ask you to do something, don't do the, okay, and then start stomping off to do whatever it is that they asked you to do. I've done that plenty of times with my parents, and it was not a good thing to do. Sometimes they let me know that. Don't roll your eyes at your parents either, but instead respond honorably and respectfully to them. Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. And then go on and do what they ask you to do. You also want to obey and honor with your speech and the way that you speak to and about your parents. It's not appropriate to yell at your parents or to talk disrespectfully to or even about them to your friends. You don't want to complain to your friends about your parents or belittle them. Man, can you believe that my parents don't want me to do this or don't want me to do that? And it's just because of the way they are. I'm just different than they are. They don't want me to do this. But what this does is it undermines the authority of parents in the eyes of your friends. And it cultivates this attitude of disrespectfulness towards parents. Interestingly, that is one of the sins that Paul lists in Romans chapter 2 when he catalogs a whole bunch of lists of heinous sins. He slides in there disrespect or disobedience to parents. This is a significant thing in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Apostle Paul. And so seek to speak well of your parents. Honor them with your lips. And this would include not immediately contradicting them when they say something to you or speaking and responding sarcastically to them. A final way in which you can obey and honor your parents is to receive their instruction in a non-critical manner. And we sort of touched on this earlier, but to receive their instruction in a non-critical way. Don't immediately think that they're out to try to make your life hard or difficult or miserable. Don't immediately think, oh, they're just trying to ruin my life, they're trying to ruin my night, they're trying to ruin my day. But think, okay, I know they love me, I know they have my best interest in mind, and even though I don't understand why they might want me to do this or not do this, I know they have a good reason for it, and so I'm going to obey. Heavenly Father, help me to obey. Because I tell you, if you begin to constantly think of your parents' commands as being restricting and ruining your life, it won't be long before you start viewing the Word of God in the very same way. God's word will begin to seem like a restriction on your life, and you'll want to push it away. You'll want to do whatever you can to break free from what's binding you and restricting you. And so receive your parents' instruction non-critically, non-cynically, and submit yourselves to them. So children, obey your parents in everything, for it pleases the Lord. You know, one of the things that this call to obedience always does is highlight how disobedient we really are, right? How often we actually do fall short. And children, I don't want to end this sermon with you thinking that I was picking on you all morning. In fact, each and every one of us, children and parents included, are called to live in obedience to the Lord. And every one of us has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. Our disobedience, your disobedience, highlights the sinful nature and fallen condition of our own hearts, which is why the gospel is such a precious truth. Because it was God the Father who sent his Son into this world to earn salvation for sinners like you and me. And this Son did this through his perfect, righteous life of obedience. And he died on the cross for our disobedience. And he rose again from the dead so that he could send his Spirit to us to enable us to live in a way that honors and pleases him. Believe that and never forget it, so that even in your times of disobedience, you know that you have a heavenly Father who loves you and who has saved you and who desires to transform you. Remember, your obedience to your parents is something that pleases the Lord. And since that is the case, it is something that he will give you by his grace. He will give what he commands. And so I encourage you to earnestly pray to God for your own obedience to your parents, that he would grant you the grace to honor him, to obey him, and to love him by honoring and obeying and loving your parents. And may the name of Jesus Christ be honored and glorified in our homes, in the church, and by this watching world as they see our homes and even our children transformed by the gospel. Let's pray. Our Lord in heaven, we ask that you would indeed transform our homes, that you would indeed pour out your blessing and your grace into each and every one of us. As we raise our children, as we teach them to obey, but as they respond to us as well, Lord, may they be responding in grace and out of love and gratitude for who you are and what you have done, and a desire to please you and show their love for you and for us. Lord, we pray that you would indeed preserve them from great trial and strife in their lives because of disobedience. But even so, Lord, teach them to know you. Teach them to love you, and may they never, ever lose sight of the gospel in all of this. Grant your grace, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.